believing. For he has done great things. For he has done great things. Oh, yes, he has done.
His word, that's what, it's just something about that word, you know.
Amen.
And that's all of it. I mean, without the word, you don't have it.
Right.
Amen. Amen. The living word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The word made flesh. That's where we are.
Amen.
Amen. God and man, one. Amen. Thank God for his grace. Thank him for being here this morning.
Amen.
You know, I'm just happy, you know.
Amen. Sums it up.
Hey,
yeah.
He's been good to me.
Yes.
I mean, it blessed me to be healthy as a
yes. Amen.
Old 80-year-old man.
Amen.
That's a blessing.
Right.
Amen. And I'm grateful to him. I appreciate
amen,
him
amen.
With all him. I know we all do.
Amen. Yes.
We love him, don't we?
Amen.
He
amen.
Loved before he's loved
we
us.
Love him, we love him, we love him.
Amen. We are his. And he are ours.
That's right.
Right.
We are one.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. God in flesh.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes. Forever. Sir.
Thank him for it.
Amen.
Amen. We just appreciate him so much.
Amen. Amen.
And it's just a wonderful thing to have a bunch like we have here.
Amen.
Somebody that love him.
Right.
Respect him.
Yes. All he wants.
Honor him.
Yes.
Amen. Glorify him.
Yes.
Anything that we can do.
That's it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Let's don't stop. Let's get greater.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Let's get after him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He's wonderful.
Brother Locke.
Yes.
Amen. Sure.
Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come this morning, humble as we know how to be, Lord, we know you're here because you come with us. And we just ask you just to be here, demonstrate whatever you want to do this morning, Lord.
Yes,
Lord Jesus. I feel you're special. God bless this place. Bless yes. our pastor and every member. Bless our home and our loved ones, Lord yes. Jesus. We are looking to you for everything, Lord.
Amen.
We know without you there's nothing. Life wouldn't even be worth living without you. God, you've been so good to us. And we just want to surrender all to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Just lay everything at your feet. Let us give it all to you because you deserve it, Lord Jesus. Bless this place. Bless these people. We looking to you, Lord. Without you, we could do nothing. But Lord, we can do all things according to your word, Lord. Bless us this morning. Bless us. Have your way in this service. Lord, just come in and just walk the aisles and just bless each person. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for it. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Beautiful.
Pastor Moore, I want to thank you very much for asking Brother Lockett to pray. And I know that that prayer is going to touch me and my family. And I just want to be here and say I am so grateful and I am so thankful
Amen.
For the Lord. And believe it or not, I was sitting back there in the pool and I just got full. And Satan was trying to just keep me down. But you know what? We have so much fullness of the word, love, mercy, and grace throughout our body. I am just so grateful and honored to be here another day. Thank you, Pastor Moore.
Let me say something real quick. You know, I was sitting there thinking, we were singing that song, you know, he has done great things. You know, and I was thinking about, you know, a relationship, a love affair. When it starts off, you got nothing to go on, but, you know, they've done good things. You know, you're enticed by that. You look at them and you think, well, that might be a good one to get with, you know. But after a while, when you see they continue to do great things, and they continue to hold to that, you know, when it's young and maybe another lover would entice just a little bit, but after a while, it's no other lover going to touch you.
Right.
Nothing else can get in. You not only know that they've done great things, but you got full confidence in what they're going to do.
Right.
You know, it gets to a point where ain't nothing going to come between you. And that's where this bride is as a whole.
Right.
You know, back through the ages, you know, they'd see that he'd done great things, and right. they had faith in that, and they, you know, they held to that. Maybe didn't know where it was going to go just yet, but they held to that, and they knew that was right.
Amen.
But now we not only know he's done great things, but he's going to do great things.
Yeah.
Things that are to be just laying in, just laying right before us.
Amen.
You know, that's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Nothing to come between me and my Lord now.
Nothing.
I'd have full confidence.
Yeah.
What he's promised, what he's done. He's proved himself to me now. I know. I know my Redeemer liveth.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a good place for this bride to be. And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
And nothing comes between this bride now. Nothing's gonna beset her now. She's already laid aside every sin, every weight, everything that could possibly hinder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for that. I see that in this bride.
Right.
I see it more and more. I was so thankful that for that prayer line the other day. I walked away and I thought that's probably the only real prayer line I've ever seen. You know, you hear about it, you know, this, that, and the other, but such a spirit. It was beautiful. I'm thankful he's right with us. I'm thankful he loves me no matter what. You know, after a while you sit there and you know, earlier on in the relationship you might go through things. It might almost shake you just a little bit. Almost think, did I get the right one or not? You know, you question things, but not now. Not now. Thank God.
Amen. God bless you.
I just wanted to say, you know, I wanted to give my husband flowers. You know, I don't think I give him enough praise. You know, we were sitting there talking last night, and I was thinking, you know, even since high school, he's always watched over me.
Yep.
You know, even like he would come up to me in high school and, you know, tell me to put more clothes on if he didn't think I was dressed appropriately. You know, he would always give me his coat. He would bring me food, and he would always take care of me. You know, because God knew before I knew, you know, and I just thank God for him. And even for every step of the way that we've been together, you know, over 20 years, you know, I just am so thankful for that man. And he's always spoiled me and given me more than I could even deserve. And I'm just thankful. And I'm also thankful for the friendships that I've made here. You know, I always tell my kids, your best friends are going to be right here in this church. You know, I struggled for a little bit, you know, because, you know, Elise is my best friend, Andrea is my best friend, but they're so much younger than I am. And I struggled for a long time with that. But then, you know, I remember when I first got here, Sister Dawn welcomed me. And she hung out with me. You know, Sister Michelle hung out with me. You know, and I watched Pastor Moore, and, you know, he hangs out with Skylar. He hangs out with James. You know, there's an age difference there. But I was like, this is where it's at. Because age is nothing but a number. You know, and it's one thing that we do have in common is this word. And I'm so thankful. And then I didn't realize, you know, I know I've been here a long time, but I didn't realize how long until, like, it just, a light came on when I went to Little Bethlehem and Jeremiah was kind of going down the line of how long we've known each other and how long we've been around. And I was like, man, Jeremiah is old. You know, he's been here a long time, you know, and I'm just thankful for all my friends, and I'm thankful for Jeremiah, you know, and Dwayne and James. And when I first got here, you know, they were the only ones my age. You know, they hung out with me even when it was taboo to hang out with me. You know, they hung out with me, and, you know, and they would just talk about the word, and I'm just thankful.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to be. I want to say I'm thankful to be here. I'm looking forward to a Bible study, and I don't know about you all, but I don't need an alarm clock to tell me when Sunday's coming, because Saturday night, you know, it started, and then it's like, you know, I'm grateful to have a place where I can set things down at the door, and I'll have to pick them up when I come out. And if for some reason I happen to bring something in here with me, I've got pastors and brothers and sisters that can knock that right off of me. And I am so grateful to be in that place. And there's, you know, Wednesday was a struggle. And it was, you know, it was one of those things when it was like, when I knew I didn't want to come, I already knew there was a good message I needed to come. And it's worked every single time. And you know, I take the brothers and sisters for that, like, especially Brother Don. He always says, if your flesh Don't, if your flesh wants to do it, you should probably look at very carefully. But if your flesh don't want to do it, it's probably taking you closer to God and you need to run that way. And so, you know, especially when it comes to getting here, you know, I know I need to come here. I know that I'm going to get more than one thing from just being here. And I'm grateful for that. I can't get that anywhere else in the world. I can't get that on the internet. No. There's nowhere like here. There's no one like you guys. And it's because of all the God you have. It's all the God that we all have together in one place. And that's what gets me through. You know, that's how we can weather the storms. That's how I weather the storms. Because of you guys, all of us together.
Right.
All the experiences, Brother Ted,
yes.
The elders, we have strong, so strong. Everybody is so just so strong. And I love that. And I thank you all, each and every one of you, for this.
Amen. It's a body.
I was thinking of just how much we truly understand. When Noah was in that boat waiting, he knew what was about to happen to everyone because he had a revelation.
Right.
And he would listen to the ridicule of the people outside thinking, if only they could have just believed.
They just believe.
Words of dead men. And here we stand, understanding what Noah went through, because we're saying, like, if they could have just got into this message. And every word outside of here is just words of dead men. We know what's about to happen to the world, what their future beholds.
That's right.
But they can't see. But we can see and understand everything everyone has ever gone through, not just the church ages, but throughout the entire history,
right,
all the way through to Adam. We understand what each one of them is going through, because we're going through the same things that each one of them went through. We believe this message. We feel for all the people, but there's nothing we can do about it. They've already chosen. They've already taken their mark, because their church is more important than the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And just like on the days of Noah, here we are today in the safety of this message, and the world, we know their future, and they just cannot listen to it. And we feel for them, because we know it's not going to be good. It's not going to be a good time for them. They're going to have a really rough time, but we can have compassion for that. But just like Noah was inside the ark, that's what we are right now.
Right.
Listening to the words of dead men saying, if only you could have believed.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Right. Amen.
Page 69, Heaven's Jubilee.
Heaven's Jubilee.
In the choruses, you're saying?
In the choruses, yeah. In
page 69, the choruses.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when all the saints shall rise.
Shall rise, oh, what
sing, just singing in the Holy Ghost. Oh, how the heavens will ring.
Amen.
Millions, they will join the song, and with them we shall be. Praising Christ through ages long, that's heaven's jubilee.
Testify real quick, guys. I'm just happy to be here.
Amen.
You know, hear the songs and the testimonies and the preaching that we get here. We're just such a blessed group, you know. Amen. And you know, I can say you're blessed and I'm blessed, but we're truly blessed by what we get as far as just a balance on everything. I mean, I get a balance on law, I get a balance on grace, I get a balance on Bible, I get a balance on studying, I get a balance on studying, I get a balance on life, I get a balance on kids, I get a balance in every walk of my life, I get a balance.
That's right.
And, you know, one of those things is that you've got to believe that God is here to get that balance.
Right.
Or you'll say, oh, that's just a man, that's just your advice. Because when you truly understand even how leadership works, you know, in a man, that man could be a bad man.
Sure.
I could be a bad person, but when I'm bringing you the word is still right.
The word is right.
The word is right. Like, yeah. But if you're looking at the man to go, well, he sells cars or he does, you're looking at the wrong thing.
Right.
But if you're just looking at the word and you trust that God's there, then God can help you.
Yes.
That's even with the wife to the husband. The wife can say, oh, I know this guy. I know he doesn't put his socks away. I know he doesn't do this. I know he doesn't do that. It, from a natural sense. But when that word comes forth,
amen,
and that's your way back,
you recognize that
that's God talking to you, and you listen to it, and you submit to it, and that's what we got to do here, even with the leadership, the word, the preaching. You've got to see that that's God there.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't, you don't get the benefit. And, you know, one of the times people go, well, how do you know that? How do you believe this? How do you believe this? How do you believe that? Well, it's something on the inside of me that pulls to it.
Right.
You know, it's something on the inside of me that agrees with it. I'm sorry about that. I was thinking about that story that Brother Branham told about the kid that was flying a kite. So he's telling the story about how this kid had this kite and it was way, way up and you couldn't see it.
Right.
And they said, okay, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, sir. I was about to hand it back to you. So like, but he said the kite was so high he couldn't see it. And they're like, well, kid, how do you know? How do you know you got that kite?
Yeah,
how do you know you're? How do you know that's really up there?
Right.
And he said you can't even see it.
Yeah.
He said, how do you know? He said, because I can feel it pulling me.
Right.
I can feel it pulling me.
Right.
Yeah, you don't know the pull. You're not holding on to what I'm holding on.
Yeah.
You can't feel what I feel. So I got to just speak for me.
Amen.
I know God's real because I can feel it pull me.
I feel the pull.
I know it's God when it speaks to me.
Yeah.
I know it's God when it corrects me.
Amen.
I know it's God when it encourages me. I know it's God.
Yes.
Now, if you don't have that, that's fine.
Yeah.
I can't help you. Maybe you're standing beside me and I got a kite and you don't have a kite. But I got something on the inside of me that just pulls at this thing. And I don't even just want the word. I need the word. I don't come here just because I want to come here. I have to come here. There's something on the inside of me that says you won't make it another step if you don't get the word of God. There's something on the inside of me that says you need him more than you need breath. There's something on the inside of me that says I need this more than I need family. I need this more than I need money. Why you see Brother Childers, one of the most successful men we've ever had the privilege of meeting. He had all these businesses. Where was he at?
Yeah, right.
Right here in church. He needed this more than he needed another house.
Right.
He needed this more than he needed to take an employee call. But I think some people just want God, and so then all these other distractions can get them.
Right.
But when you need God, nothing can stand in the way of that. That's like air. I need air. I don't care what I got to claw, scrape, move. I'll make sure I breathe.
Amen.
And that's how it is when I come here. I need this thing, and it's such a blessing to have it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not even boastful in it. I'm not even trying to be conceited about it. I'm not trying to say I have something somebody else doesn't have. I got this for free.
Yeah.
This was free. I freely got it. There's no rules or stipulations or prerequisites that you got to do to get the word of God. He freely gives this thing out.
Amen.
So when we come here and worship God in spirit and in truth, it's a blessing that anybody else is here.
Yes.
It's a blessing that you got brothers and sisters. My wife's talking about having friends. Thank God you have friends.
Amen.
You're not promised friends.
No.
You get a family. Thank God you get a family. You're not promised family.
That's right.
I'm promised the word of God. He's obligated to give me the word
Amen.
Of God. That's what I stand on. That's the only thing that is our thing that we have in common. You talk about me, Brother Jeremiah, and Dwayne. The only thing we got in common is the word of God.
That's right.
Oh, I love those brothers. I love them more than I love myself. But the only thing we got in common is the word of God. They step off the word of God, and then my love starts to fade away.
Amen.
Then I start to become a little bit too busy. Then Why? Because I got to come here.
Right.
I can't let anything, even my love for my friends, that can't come in front of this. My love for my wife can't come in front of this. My love for my kids can't come in front of this. Why? Because I need this to help them.
Amen.
Oh, even in the airplane, they say, put your mask on first and then help somebody.
Right.
I can't help you if I can't help myself. I got to get the word to even be able to help you. My family leans on me for a lot of stuff. They want this advice and that the direction, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know where I'm getting it from? Right here.
Amen.
I don't have no good advice. I don't have no good direction. I don't have no good instructions outside of the word of God. And they see that and they marvel at it.
Right.
They go, wow, how can somebody speak with such authority?
Right.
Why? Because I know what I got.
Yes.
I got the goods. I'm settled. I'm not moved.
Amen.
I'm not shaken. I'm not emotional. I'm not a wreck. I'm not none of that stuff. The world doesn't bother me now. And that's even what the song says. It says the things of this world will grow strangely dim.
Right.
The things that they hold so dear, so important.
My goodness.
The only thing that's on my plate
Amen.
Is getting out of here. You know, even say that brother was referencing Noah, and then they said, as it was in the days of Noah, they gave him the marriage, did this and did that. Why? They didn't even know where God was at. That's why they were doing all these things. If they would have known it was the end time, they would have wrapped it up.
Sure.
But they didn't believe Noah. That's why they didn't trust him. That's why they didn't get on the boat. They didn't have any faith in God at all. They didn't want God. We're sitting here with the blueprint. We're building a big ark on how to get
Amen.
Out of here, how to avoid
Amen.
The tribulation, how to avoid the trials, how to avoid this, how to avoid that. We got a blueprint. We've been preaching it for years. We've been sitting here for years. People come here and visit us. We've been here for years.
Right.
Preaching the same word. Get in the boat. Get in the boat. Get in the boat.
Right. Right.
They don't believe us. Don't want to take God at his word at all. But I can't help but to get here. I can't help but to believe it. I can't help but just to hold on to it. So my testimony is I thank God for that pool that's on the inside of me.
Amen.
I thank God for the love of God that I can see it. Oh, this thing, is, we get too much, brothers and sisters. You know, I'm looking forward to the preaching this morning, but I just wanted to say that I'm just thankful that what we already got.
Yes.
You know, I believe Pastor Moore because he's been preaching the truth all this time. I'm looking forward to preaching the truth again. I'm not coming here and saying that God ain't failed me yet. See, the church world will have you put that yet in there, like you're waiting for God
he
to fail you. He's never failed me, period.
Right.
He never will fail me, period.
Right.
And that's how even over in Book of Romans, let's back it up with the Bible, says, I'm fully persuaded now that not even death could separate me. No angels, principalities, whatever, none of those things can separate me from what? The love of God.
Right.
See, I know he loved me before the foundation of the world. He ain't going to stop now.
Right.
He's excited about what he's got now.
Amen.
God bless you. Go ahead, Sister Sue.
Amen.
I have that pool too, and I'm so thankful to have that pool. You
Amen.
Know, it's just I couldn't live. I'm desperate, you know. I have to have it. Oh my! I just say that I'm just so thankful to be here and to know this word. And the reason I got up, I was wanting to have everybody pray for the Eastern Kentucky. You know, it's in bad shape right now, and my loved ones are okay. They're safe, no water and all that kind of stuff, but their lives are saved. So, and I just, they just need prayer. They need everything. You know, they're desperate for water and they're desperate for food and clothes, and they've lost it. Some people have lost everything. Oh, so just keep them in your prayers this week.
Amen. Hey, man, we're going to get the voices up. Come on up, voices. We got a special.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'll wait.
No.
Okay. Well, I wanted to say that tomorrow marks a year since I had walked through those doors. And it's the best decision I have ever made in my life because I know God led me here.
Amen.
And with that said, I had, I'm glad you, I had, you know, I'm glad you're all here. It makes me feel better. I'm not a long one up here. But years ago, I had used to write a lot, and I would write poetry. And for so long, you know, it was to myself. So I found it a couple weeks ago, and I read through it, and it brought tears to my eyes because it testified of what I went through. And okay, thank you. And I didn't know how to testify when I came here because we didn't testify where I was. So I said, how can I put so many years of testifying in something? So about a week ago, laying in the bed and it all flowed out because for so long I couldn't write. I just, it didn't come to me, but it did.
Amen.
So
Amen.
If I can Amen. Share this with yeah. you, yeah. I have it on my phone. it's called Always With Me, and I'm sorry if I get a little emotional, but it's where I... Okay. I can't imagine a day going by without thinking what God, I'm shaking, has done for me. From confusion to delusion, from darkness to light, I can now see.
Amen.
To be confined in thoughts and emotions and that fret never set free in my own mind. The spoken word of revelation, a gift given a truth to me, a true find. Never could I truly speak, never to express the things that I went through. But when I could, I found myself only speaking to a few who could never truly hear or listen to what I needed to express. Then I found myself thinking I was nothing, a disappointment or much less. I had to get out of a negative mindset of this jail that I was in to free myself and believe in God that I can conquer, I can win. I had to hold on and believe his word. For it couldn't be a lie. I had to refocus beyond what I thought, because all I did was cry and cry and cry. To get out of a battered state and feel a freedom I never knew existed. I wrote down these things that hindered me and couldn't believe what I had listed. To be in bondage and not really know it, it truly hinders who you think God is. But I knew deep down there was a peace I come to know. I kept believing I was his.
Amen.
To realize the freedom, the joy, and that God was my all in all. I wanted to surrender, to give it all to him, but I was a prisoner to the law. The emotional scars I must release to forgive and also realize there's power in God's peace. So I stand here testifying, not lying of who I am and who I was. I can now speak freely of a gift he given me just because. I can look forward and be grateful to God for it has all made me stronger, emerging from hiding under that shield as I need it no longer. To be like him and knowing that I do matter and do have a voice. He wants me to speak of his word to those who are lost but yet have a choice. To believe in God and know that he is always with me. To live the life he wants me to of peace and finally be free.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Two songs. Two songs. And then that way it can cover everybody's testimony. We're doing this song. Skylar's leading this song. It's called Somebody Died For Me. I'll help you guys with the chorus. Skylar's doing the verses. So the chorus I'll help you with. You'll have it up there as well. So you should be good to go. We'll make sure you guys are good.
He was a troubled kid in and out of jail. When his daddy said, "This is the last time I'll pay bail." So he enlisted in the army, and they sent him to Iraq. But man, when he came back, some people said the army must have whipped you into shape. But he said, "That's not the reason that I've changed. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot live the way I lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me." Now they fold the flag and attach a silver star, while a grieving mother leans against his arm. Then he stands before the family and does his best to tell how he survived the night his best friend fell. No one who ever knew him was surprised he died that way. He always lived for Jesus. Oh, he used to always say, "Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot live the way I lived or be the way I was. Every day's a gift to me because somebody died for me. Now I don't want to waste a moment of the time that I have left. With every breath I'm giving, God help me not forget. God help me not forget. Somebody died for me before I even asked for help. Gave his life for me when I couldn't save myself. I cannot
sing, "Let the Worshippers Arise."
Amen.
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 Yes. The Worshippers Arise.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Father, I see that you were drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea. Let the worshipers. Sing this. Hallelujah. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening in the sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the heavens ring. This is our song, a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender in my all, my all. I surrender to the King.
Father, I see that you're drawing a line in the sand.
Father, I see that you were drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side, just holding your hand, so let your kingdom come, oh, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea, let the worshipers arise.
Worshippers arise. Oh, let the worshippers arise.
Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender in my all.
My all.
I surrender to the the sons and the daughters sing. Lord, I surrender in my all, my all. I surrender to the King. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Let the sons sons and the daughters sing. Oh, I
King. Heavenly Father, we come here this morning so thankful to be a worshiper. So thankful that I can stand up and be counted for. So thankful that I can be a part of this thing. Lord, as we say, let the worshipers arise. That's what we've come to do this morning. Arise and be counted for, knowing that, Lord, we are the last voice to the final age. And that, God, you're moving in this place like never before. And I ask you, Lord, to take us one more step this morning. Touch those that are sick and at home and can't be here this morning. And those who couldn't make it for one reason or another. But, Lord, while we're here, we ask you to come by here, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Let us, Lord, know our purpose, why we're here, what we're here to do. And, Father, we'll never fail to give you the praise and the honor and the glory. Thank you for all you've done and all that you're about to do. Move every spirit, hindering spirit, out of this place that your word might flow freely here this morning. Satan's a liar. He's defeated. And, Lord, you're victorious over every situation. Thank you for all you've done, Lord. Move amongst us today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Sometimes people tune in just to observe us. I know they do. They're just checking us out. But this ain't a circus. It's not a show. This is a real God and a real people moving in his bride. And if you're just tuning in just to see what's going on in Fairborn, it's the same thing that we've always done. Group of people coming together to serve God, worship God in spirit and in truth. It's good to be here. This is the best part of my week. I don't know about you, but this is the best part of my week. I set my alarm clock Monday through Friday to go to work. And because, you know, I don't really want to go. But, you know, I don't even have a clock set on Sunday. Don't need one. I wake up first things like Sunday. It's time for the get to the house of God. And I sit there in anticipation waiting because I'd say, okay, I'm going to sleep in today. I'll lay in a little later. And I'll lay there for an hour or so just laying there and just thinking and praying and thinking, Lord, you know, but you don't have to twist my arm to come to the house. I don't know. Y'all might say it's you don't want to come sometime. I want to come. I mean, this is the only sanity I get. This is it. And so I'm not depressed when I come here. Matter of fact, this is what removes my depression. I'm not down when I come here. This is what gets me up. I'm not looking for a way out. I'm looking for a way in. And this is the best place I could be. When the rest of the world is insane, there is one place I can go where we can have the Word of God and we can receive the Word of God with joy. This is, Sister Crystal, when did you write that poem? About a week or so ago? That was amazing. That was her journey. And the song I always like to sing, if you could see where he's brought me from to where I am today, then you'll know the reason why I love him so. If 1 year doesn't make a difference in your life when you're under the word of God, something's wrong with you. I mean, you should be better every year. She's been here a year tomorrow, I think it is, and she's changed a lot. I can see the difference. And if you can't see the difference in your life in a year of serving God, then you need to reevaluate who you're serving. Because God will change you. And I mean for the better. You shouldn't be worse today than you were a year ago. You should be better every day. And you should be more secure every day. And you should be more enthused about serving God every day. You don't come here and every day and every year and have the same testimony or worse. You should be better. If you're not better, what's wrong with your God? I'll tell you like Elijah said, you need to lay your God down. Maybe he's sleeping somewhere. You need to serve the God I serve. The God I serve helps you to overcome. God I serve gives you joy. Unspeakable and full of glory. The God I serve gives you answers to your questions. You don't have the same questions this year as you have last year. If you ask Christy, she's got a whole lot of answers in the last year that she's had coming in here. And I ain't got to ask her. I know. I can see it. Somebody who never got to testify, my goodness. I remember the first time she got it, she said, I don't know how to put 30 years in a testimony. I thought, my goodness. But if you can see this, it should do something for you. It will do something for you. And you're not going to be struggling every day. It's not going to be a struggle to get to the house of God. You're not going to be hitting and missing. And one day you're on top of the world, and the next day you're ready to kill yourself. And the next day you're on top of the world, and the next day you're ready to kill yourself. Something's wrong with that. That means you don't have answers. You need to get something that's going to make you like Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You need something in you that's going to be, when you see me, you see the Father. You need something in you that's going to make you so solid that if I'm not even with you, I know you're serving God. That's why I don't follow y'all home. I don't need to follow God home. I know what God's going to do when he goes home. He's going to love his word when he goes home. And see, the thing about this word, it does work. It does work. If it's not working in your life, don't blame the word. Blame yourself because you haven't laid down your thinking. You got to let go. You got to let go of your ideas. You got to let go of your thinking. And when you let go of your thinking, then God can move in. Because he can't move in if the word doesn't go in. If you don't receive the word, God can't get in you. He rides in on his word. And when the word gets in you, it automatically changes you. It changes your desire. It changes your focus. It changes your life. It changes your everything about you will change. You say, but I got problems. We all got problems. That don't mean I didn't change. Something changed. Something got a hold of me. Like I said, I went to the church one night. But something got a hold of me. This word got a hold of me. That's why, you know why you can come to me for answers? Because I got the word in me. And you know I'm not wishy-washy. You know I'm not up and down. You know I'm not in and out. And you know when you approach me, you're going to see Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And why is it that you're going to see it in me? I want to see it in you. I haven't even done my job till I got it in you. My job's not getting you to look at me. My job is to get you to look at you. Recognizing your day and its message. Recognizing who you are. Recognizing it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not about me. It's about what is God doing in your life.
Amen.
Because he's moving in his bride. That's what he's here to do. That's what he's all about. And if he can't move through you, he's going to move through somebody. And if he's not moving through you, it's because you didn't let him. So choose this day whom you're going to serve. If God be God, serve him. Don't buck him. Don't fight him. Don't try to hang on to your old ways and try to serve him. He don't want your old ways. That's why he's telling you to lay them down. And see, God changes your desire. That's why I know you're going to change. He changes your desire. He doesn't come up here. People want me to come up here and beat it in you. I'm not going to beat it into you. If it's not in you, do what you want. You might as well. So God's in me and I'm doing this. Well, go ahead and do it. If it doesn't match the word, it ain't God. Simple as that. It's not hard to find God. God's easily found. You find his word, you find him.
That's right.
If your life does not match the word, then you're not serving God.
Amen. Amen. You're right. I don't care how many times you come to church. Amen. I don't care how much you put in the offering plate. I don't care how much you sacrifice and do for the building. If God's word is not living in you, then he's not living in you. Amen. And if he is living in you, he will manifest out through you with every heartbeat. Enough for that. That ain't my message, but it is my message. That is the message. It's good to be here. I feel like I haven't preached in a long time. I don't know. I preached last week, but I just feel like it's been a long time. I do this for me, y'all. I preach myself out and preach myself back in. And I tell myself I'm no good. Then I tell myself all things are possible through Christ Jesus. Before I get out of church, I'm going to be happy. I don't know about you. You might be dragging around like, oh, I don't want to be here. Then go home. Oh, I don't want to listen to you. Then turn the internet off. Amen. Oh, I don't want this. Then don't. See, God is not going to force you to serve him. He's not going to force you to be a light. He's not going to force. He only needs a few. Let me tell you something. God only doesn't need a big number. He only needs a few. And at the end time, there's only going to be a few. Amen. Churches are not going to be full. The whole world is not going to accept it. It's not going to be something they want. It's going to be a few. Few there be that find it. Yes, sir. All right. Let me get started. I'm happy. You might think I'm mad, but I'm not. I'm just a little turned on about what I believe. And if you're not turned on about what you believe, you need something else to believe. Because if all your belief gives you down, disheartened, down and out, no hope, then you need to get something else. Okay, I want to read over here, Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to go over here for a few minutes. I got a subject that excuses me. My biggest problems this morning is not getting to the end before I get to the beginning. Exodus chapter 3, and start with verse 1. I've got four verses I want to read here. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see God, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. The title of my message this morning is The Sign and the Voice. I was excited about this one. The Sign and the Voice. Now, just to start with our thought here. Here you had Moses, a man that was called of God, before he even knew he was called of God. A man who God had to protect because the king wanted to kill. Pharaoh wanted to kill all the kids because he knew that there was promised to be someone that was going to raise up. And in order to make sure that it didn't happen, he killed all the kids. You kill them all, you don't have to worry about a deliverer. Because it won't be a deliverer to get. Well, God slid Moses down into Pharaoh's arms before he even had a chance to get him. Now, God's got a sense of humor about himself. He takes the worst situation and makes it good. You ever had that in your life? He takes something that looks bad and makes it good. He makes something that seems like it's impossible and makes it possible. So here Pharaoh was. He was down there trying to kill out the deliverer. And God UPS'd him right to his doorstep. Stuck him right under his nose. You know, Pharaoh loved Moses. Oh, he wasn't kidding. He loved him. He played with him, crawled around on the floor with him. Fed him. Rocked him to sleep at night. And as he grew, he used to tell him, says, Moses, it's a good thing that you're here. I got rid of their so-called deliverer. And now, when I get ready to turn things over, I can give it to you. Now, here it was right under his nose. God made him keep his deliverer. Feed his deliverer. Clothe his deliverer. Teach his deliverer. Kept him 40 years. That's the way he did it. And when he got ready, God took Moses, because Moses' mother told him he was delivered. He said, oh, by the way, while she's dressing, because she went in as a nursemaid. If you don't know the story, he just happened to pick Moses' mom to be the nursemaid to Moses. So Moses said, Moses' mom told him, said, you know, you're the guy. And so Moses went about with his education and thought he was going to save the people. Because he felt for them. But he tried to use his thinking to deliver the people. 40 years old, educated, strong, second in line to the throne. It just, common sense would say, just raise up and take it over. Well, it seemed like it was a good idea. But you know, that was man's thinking. That was not God's thinking at all. Matter of fact, Moses raised up and he saw this Egyptian soldier whipping one of the Jews, one of the Israelites. And Moses went over there and snatched the whip and killed the guy. Then it started making sense to him. I think I made a mistake. I don't think this is the way to deliver Israel. So he took off running. But see, that was all a part of God's plan. So he's running from his stepdad, running out in the wilderness, went out there, found a girl, married her, working for his father-in-law, doing his own thing. He went on with his life. He forgot about the promises. He forgot about everything. He just messed this whole plan up. So see, that's what we think sometimes. We use our thinking and try to figure things out, and it doesn't work right. And all you got is, as Brother Katz preached here one time, all you got is one dead Egyptian. And so Moses went on and thought, well, I might as well just throw in the towel. I ain't going to save nobody. He went on about his business and got him a life together. Pretty good life, too. He had a pretty good life. But then he took a trip up on the mountainside and ran in this bush. And that bush was a little different. Because though it was on fire, it wasn't consumed. Now, if you want somebody's attention, have something happen that shouldn't happen. Have something appear that shouldn't appear. Have things happen. Have God move in a way that he shouldn't move. And that gets people's attention. And Moses went out there, and he was on the hillside, and he saw this bush burning, and he thought, my goodness, let me go and check this out. So that's how God gets you. He'll take you to a church, and the friendly people, they seem like they're lovely people. And next thing you know, you're all in there. Moses, all he needed to do was go by and check out that bush. So he went and checked out the bush. But see, the thing about it, the burning bush was not it. No. The burning bush was just a sign. It was a sign that God was here. It was a sign that God was moving. But after the sign came a voice. See, the thing you got to understand is there's always a voice after the sign.
Amen.
If it comes from God, there always is a voice after the sign. People get caught up in the sign, and they don't worry about the voice. What if Moses had looked at the burning bush, and all he did was concentrate on the burning bush, and how can this be, and try to figure out the elements in the bush, and try to figure out how that could happen, and spend more time talking about that, and looking at that, and didn't hear what God had to say? It wouldn't have done any good. God wasn't turned on about a burning bush. He wanted to have a voice. He wanted to talk to Moses. He wanted to tell him his plan. He wanted to give him the word.
Amen.
A lot of people get caught up in the sign and forget about the voice. Brother Branham, in his message, The Voice of the Sign, I like this. This message, I was listening to it this week. It's funny how I got to this message. I wasn't looking for this message. I was looking for services of time. And then I put this in there and I started listening to it. And next thing I realized, I said, wait a minute, this isn't services of time. And I looked back at it and it says, The Voice of the Sign. I thought, oh, okay, I'll eat this. So I started listening to it and I got so turned on by this message. I said, oh, I got to share this. But Brother Branham said, the burning bush was given to Moses to attract the runaway prophet's attention. And he turned aside to see what it was. The sign gave a voice. The sign itself gave a voice. Now these voices and signs are to alert the people of God's word. It's just about ready. He said that the voices and the signs are to alert God's people of God's word is just about ready to be vindicated. Always a sign is to attract the attention of the people. That's what a sign is for. People always get caught up in a sign. I remember Brother Childress used to always say, there's a sign says Fairborn, 2 miles. He says, but you don't pull over and God dancing around the sign, you ain't there yet. The sign is pointing you to your destination. The sign is telling you about what's coming. So a sign of God is not the end to all.
Amen.
It's just the beginning of it. God's not turned on by the signs. See, we get all turned on by signs and wonders and gifts and callings. And we get, if God heals us, oh gosh, that's not what God's after.
No.
You get healed, you're still going to die.
Amen.
Unless the body change happens, you're still going to die.
Right.
God ain't worried about the sign. He's not worried about turning you on with gifts and offerings and giving you a good job and a good house and reading. A lot of people get carried away because Brother Brown was able to read their address. Uh-huh. The God could discern. The word's a discerner.
Yes. Right.
The word's if you get the word in you, it becomes a discerner in you.
Yes, sir.
That's why you'll be able to understand every man you meet.
Right.
Because the word of God is a discerner.
Right.
But people get caught up in the discernment and don't listen to the message.
Right.
They don't hear the voice. They don't see what God's trying to say. They get caught up in the prophet and forget about the prophecy.
Amen.
Every time God sends a prophet, he sends a sign.
Amen.
And every time he sends a sign, he sends a voice.
Amen.
And you can't have one without the other.
That's right.
You can have a voice without the sign, but the voice won't be God's voice. Because God's voice will be vindicated.
Right.
And his vindication is by the sign.
Amen.
And his vindication is by him bringing it to pass. So by you having a sign, that's good, that's fine. Gifts and calling are without repentance. God ain't mad about it because you got a gift. God gave it to you.
Right.
People have a real gift of discernment.
Yes, sir.
But the thing is, watch what happens after this voice, after the sign. If the sign is not followed by the voice of God leading to the word of God, then it is not God and you can get away from it because
that's
it's
right.
just a sign.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
People get caught up and they don't understand how God uses his signs. In Exodus chapter 4, won't read the whole thing, but if you read down in chapter 4, Moses was talking with God about his trip down to Egypt. And God knew that he, as a prophet, needed a sign. Because, see, God wasn't just going to go down to Egypt. God was going to go down to Egypt in Moses. He told him, he said, Moses, I have heard the cry of my people, and I have come down to deliver them. It wasn't Moses delivering them. It was God delivering them. It wasn't Moses' decision. It was God's word. It was God keeping his promises. Remember, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass.
Amen.
God had told back there in the old days, he said Israel is going to be down in Egypt for 400 years.
Right.
Abraham, they're going to stay down there for a while. And Abraham knew that they were going to be down there. But when God come down there in 400 years, he knew how long it was going to take him to the day.
Right.
And he calculated it all in. But God don't just come down. God always doesn't. He doesn't do anything, Amos 4,
right,
until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophet.
Right.
If you don't want a prophet, you don't want God.
Right.
You say, but I love God, but we don't need a prophet. They come hand in hand. They come hand in hand. Now, Moses was going to go down to Egypt. But it wasn't Moses going down to Egypt. It was God going down to Egypt in Moses.
Right.
But he was going to deal with hard-headed Israelites who had been in slavery for 400 years.
Right.
And God knew that that prophet was going to have to be a vindicated prophet.
Right.
He couldn't just send Moses down and say, Moses, tell Pharaoh I'm going to... No. He needed to be a vindicated... A prophet always had to be vindicated by a sign. I told you, if God has a prophet on the scene, he will have a sign.
Yes.
God will give him a sign. So he told Moses over here in chapter 4, said in verse 6, and the Lord said, furthermore, he said, Lord, I'm going to go down to Egypt. They ain't going to believe me. They ain't going to hear me.
Right.
See, you can't just go, okay, this is me.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for God. If you're not a vindicated prophet, Israel wouldn't hear you. If you're not a vindicated prophet, believers won't hear you. So though you come, you have to have a sign. And Moses said, hey, they ain't going to hear me. And the Lord said, furthermore unto him in verse 6, put down thy hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand in his bosom again. And plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other hand, as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, listen to this, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, the voice of the sign, not the sign. God always have a voice to follow the sign.
Amen.
If they won't hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Give him another sign. He actually gave him signs and wonders, and he went on down there and he said, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land.
Right.
Give him all kinds of signs.
Right. Amen.
But see, God's purpose wasn't in the signs. I mean, signs are great.
Yeah.
Healings are great.
Right.
Discernment is great.
Right.
But that's not what God's trying to get you to see.
No.
God's using those things to just show you that he's there.
Yeah.
So that when his voice comes forth,
Amen.
You'll pick him up.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
When you see the sign, you start listening for the voice.
Yeah.
See, we haven't been trained to listen to the voice of God.
Right.
We get stuck on signs.
Right.
We get stuck on this and we get stuck on that. But God is not interested in the sign. He uses that because he's getting your attention to tell you that he wants to talk to you a little bit.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
There it is.
Amen.
Moses went down in Egypt with a sign. Brother Branham said in the token. And he threw down his rod, turned it into a serpent. That was sign. But after a while, the voice come with the sign. Amen. What was the sign was that he could turn a rod into a snake, a serpent. But that wasn't the trick. No. The voice that followed the sign was, "Let my people go."
Right.
That was what was coming. That was the word of God. He said, then it's different, see. They don't want that. The voice must follow a sign. And at no other time could it ever have come but that time, because it was time for the scripture to be fulfilled. When it's time for the scripture to be fulfilled, God will send a sign. God will send a voice. But people don't want the voice of God. I could tell you what to do, and some of y'all won't do it. You see, I thought you were talking about God talking. I am. The voice of God comes through the people of God. I can help you, but you don't want it. What did God say over there to Israel? He said, "I would have hovered you like a hen does her chicks. I would, but you wouldn't have it. You wouldn't do it, no matter how I fixed it. I can show you signs. I can show you wonders. I can discern your heart. I can tell you what you're thinking. And then you'll still turn the word down when I give it to you. Because you don't want the voice. You want the signs. You want God to bless you. You want the healing. You want God to be your buddy. You want God to do what you want to do. But God's not about buddying. God's not about taking care of your desires and wants and wishes. God's about his word. Amen. About fulfilling the scripture. Amen. If what you're doing doesn't fulfill the scripture, then it ain't God.
Amen.
Oh, you want God to discern your heart and tell you about good things coming to you.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll get that all day. You'll stay under that all day. I won't have to have you come. I could pack this church out discerning hearts. I could pack this church out healing the sick. I could pack this church out doing signs and wonders, having a pillar of fire go from the front of the back of the church. I could pack this church out with that.
Yes.
But that ain't what God's about.
Amen.
Then people don't want the word of God.
Right.
We're in an hour that people do not want the word of God. That's why this church isn't packed. This church should be overflowing with people because the word of God is here, but they don't want the word of God. They want the signs, but they don't want the word. They don't understand how God worked. And God doesn't really care about the sign. He really is not into signs. Not like we are. Somebody come in here and discern you. Woo, God's in this place. And then he tell you, straighten your life up. That's just his creeds. He's just trying to put law on me. Now, it could be the same God that showed you the sign.
Yeah.
Could be the same God talking to you that you saw heal you.
Yeah.
Could be the same God that discerned you last week. The same one's talking to you right now.
Right.
But you don't want God to talk to you.
Right.
You don't want to hear from God. Most people don't want to hear from God.
No.
They don't want the truth.
You're right.
They don't want the manifested word of God. Because
right.
It'll work you over.
Amen.
It'll tell you what to pick up. It'll tell you what to put down.
Amen.
It'll tell you what to lay aside.
Yeah.
It'll tell you what you need for your life. That's what the word will do.
Amen.
Old people don't want that. You want to live your own life and do your own thing and be your own man. You need the word of God in your life. That's what you need.
Amen.
You need to get by. You know, some people come to church because there's signs.
Right.
Oh, it's a good place. A good atmosphere. Good this, good that.
Right.
But when the word comes forth, you sit there and you won't even receive it.
Amen.
It's the truth if you don't say amen.
Amen.
When the voice comes, that's when people cut loose.
Amen.
When the voice comes, that separates the men from the boys.
Amen.
When the voice comes, that's when churches separate. That's when people walk out the door. That's when people decide they don't want it anymore. Oh, they want you to pat them on the back. But when you tell them, thus saith the Lord, they can't have it.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, my sheep will seek my signs. Oh, some of y'all been reading. My sheep will hear my voice. It's all about the voice of God. It's always been about the voice of God. And a stranger, they won't follow. They won't be going after these things of the world. They won't be seeking after the world, trying to fit into the world. You'll lay the world down. You'll put it aside because you've seen the sign and you heard the voice. When you hear the voice, you'll lay down all that other stuff. If you never lay it down, you've never heard the voice. If you've seen the sign and you're following me because, oh, I'm a good man, oh, I'm a good pastor, oh, I treat you right, I take you out to eat, I treat you buddy, if that's all you got, then you don't have God. Amen. If you can't pick up what I'm putting down, then the voice of God, you've never heard from God. Amen. It's not about coming in church and just being in the building. Not about coming here and just getting healings and signs and wonders. Not about just coming here and getting yourself discerned. It's about hearing the voice of God. And when you hear the voice of God, the believers will hear his voice. And they will follow him. A stranger they will not follow. They get beyond the sign. A lot of people get stuck at the sign. That's why you don't grow. That's why you can't be a better Christian. That's why you don't have nothing going on in your life, because you've never got past the sign. All you're doing is hanging around the sign of God and realize, oh, you know God's in this place because you've seen the sign. You can recognize that he's here, but the question is he in you? Have you heard his voice?
Amen.
This building ain't nothing. And the sixth seal, Brother Branham said, but to all that's got their name on the book of life, God will call. They'll hear it. If you got your name on that book, you will hear the voice. That's what I'm trying to. I don't have to force you. I don't have to try to trick you. I don't have to try to get you all worked up to the altar. I don't have to try to get you to submit to anything. If the voice of God, if you recognize that voice, it'll do exactly what it's supposed to in your life. And if you're a seed of God, you will hear God's voice. Amen. They're the only ones who can hear God's voice. Yeah. My sheep will hear my voice. Yeah. Nobody else can pick it up. Nobody. When God talks, the sheep will hear it. Everybody else, it'll go right over their head. Amen. Let me preach, John. Don't get that loud. You're distracting me. Amen. My sheep will hear my voice.
Amen.
They love me, and they'll follow me. That's what the word says.
Right.
When my sheep hear my voice, they're going to follow the word. They're not going to follow the signs. They don't get all worked up on the sign. People get all worked up on the sign. Listen to the voice. That's why I was trying to get you quiet, because I'm like, you can't hear God when you're speaking. You got one mouth and two ears. You should hear more than you speak.
Yes.
You really can't even speak until you hear.
Amen.
Not the word of God. You got to hear God's word before you can speak God's word.
Amen.
My sheep hear my voice. I know them. God knows you. You'll know God and God will know you. This ain't a one-way relationship. It's not just God knowing who you are. You have to know who he is. If you are his sheep, you will know him. You'll recognize that voice. When God speaks, you should be able to pick up his voice. Oh, I know when I hear the voice of God. That's why I don't worry about the tabernacle. A lot of people worry about who's preaching. Who's preaching? Doesn't matter who's preaching. When somebody gets up and he's speaking, that's the thus saith the Lord. That's not the man. It's God speaking.
Amen.
But to all that's got their name on the book of life, God will call. They'll hear it. My sheep hear my voice. Jesus said, only thing that we've got to do is make a sheep call. Goats don't know it.
That's right.
Notice. But you see, the sheep call, my sheep hear my voice. Why? What's the voice? I want to tell you what the voice is. A voice is a spiritual sign. He said to Moses, if they won't hear your voice of the first sign, they will hear your voice of the second. My sheep hear my voice. When these things are supposed to be taking place in the last days, sheep of God recognize that. Yes, sir, see? They recognize it. My sheep know me, see? Strangers, they won't follow. Don't follow them, strangers. It's got to be a vindicated sign of the day. And they see it. Now notice, Brother Branham said, it's got to be a vindicated sign for the day, not just any old sign.
Amen.
It's got to be a sign for the day that you're living in. So you say, okay, now I need to find the sign. I need to see the sign. Do you realize the sheep will have the sign put before them? They can't help but to get the sign. They can't help but to see the sign. They can't help but to pick up the sign. Nobody else can. They'll wonder why you do what you do. They wonder why you make the decisions you make. They wonder why you change your lives and change your homes and change your jobs and change your family and change all these things. They don't understand why you do what you do, but you do what you do because you heard his voice.
Amen.
You're not just here for a sign. You're not just here because somebody told you it's a good place to go. You're not here just because somebody else wants you to be here. You're here because you want to be here. You're here because you hear the voice of God. And when the voice of God speaks, the sheep will follow it.
Amen.
It's all about the voice.
Amen.
Brother Branham said in the voice of the signs, every sign from God is followed by a voice. Every time God gives a true sign,
yes,
there's a voice that follows.
Amen.
See, that's what you should be looking for. That's what God's trying to point you to. There's always a voice after sign.
Amen.
When you see some kind of phenomenon come along and watch it move and it doesn't change into something, then it's never come from God, see? God doesn't just show signs just to show he's God. There's a voice that follows that sign.
Amen.
When you come to the house of God, don't just look around here and say, oh, this is a good place to go to church because there's a lot of good people here. You should be looking beyond that sign. Because you know what? If you go to the house of God, there will be a good group of people there. Because God's got good people. But that's just a sign that God's here. But that's not the only sign.
That's right.
If we got good people here and I'm preaching Trinitarian doctrine, that's not God.
Amen.
If I'm not bringing it word upon word, then that's not God. And if that's not word upon word, then get away from it. Don't even worry about it. You don't have to look. Keep looking because you haven't found God yet.
Right.
But if it is God, you should be running to the house of God.
Amen.
Oh, you don't have to push me, tell me to get here, make me come. This is the place I'd love to come because I know the voice of God is here.
Yeah.
I run to this house.
Yeah.
Can't get here soon enough.
Amen.
I text Melanie and said, I'm going to church. I'll see you. See you there. Said, you left your sister. I'll leave Eva. I'll leave Clarice. She got a car. I only wait for you so long. And I'm like, gotta go. But see, that's because this is where I know who's here.
Yeah.
I know what's going on. And nothing's going to stop me. I'm sorry. I can't go along with saying it's hard to come to church. I just don't eat that. I had to spew that out. If it's hard for you to come to church, something's wrong with you. Because the voice of God is here. Why would you not want to come where God is? Why would you not want to hear what God's got to say? Out of anything and everywhere I go, this is the one place I want to be. Oh, you might have to wake me up. I'm late for work. Might call in sick. I had two people text me back this morning. They were sick. I get it. They couldn't be here. And I told you, if you're sick, stay home. Because you don't want nobody else getting sick. But when it comes to the house of God, don't even look at me like I don't want to be here. Don't even, if I, oh Lord. What would I look like coming up here saying I don't want to be here today? What would you think? You would wonder what I got. What kind of God you got? My God turns me on. My God puts me out there and tells me I want to be here. I ain't hitting and missing in church. If I'm not here, there's a reason I'm not here. But I'm not somebody sitting at home when I should be in the house of God. You're a foolish person. You don't recognize the voice of God. Because if you recognize the voice of God, you'd be running in his house. I don't care if you're sitting here right now and listen to me. You should be in your car driving here, getting here as fast as you can. Because you recognize God's here. If you don't recognize that, you don't know where God is. My sheep hear my voice. I get to the house of God early. I get nervous. I get dressed for work. You ask Clarice and Melanie. They seen it. I get dressed, and I'm sitting on the piano because I'm nervous, and I don't want to rush them. And I'm at the piano. What I'm doing is I'm putting my jitters on the piano, and I'm creating an atmosphere because I'm in church before I get here, y'all. This is not just start at 10 o'clock. I start before I get here. I start singing and playing before I get here. Because I'm nervous. I know what I got. I know God's going to speak. Amen. I was excited about this morning's message. And I'm nervous. And I'm like, I can't wait to get there. I just don't understand you not wanting to come here. I wouldn't. You know what? I wouldn't let those words ever come out of my mouth again. Amen. By your testimony.
Yeah.
You overcome or you condemned.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yeah. You're right.
If you're preaching negative, oh, I don't want this. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be. That ain't God. You got to talk after the word if you want me to eat it.
Yes,
I'm just going to watch you and see a sign and go along with it. Oh, no, I don't just go along with everything everybody say. I listen for the voice. When y'all testify, I'm listening for the voice. Oh, Sister Crystal, you turned me on this morning. I thought now I was sitting there in Oregon. I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it now. I said to myself, look at here. Now, when Crystal first came, she was a good old Baptist. I mean, a good one. You were a good Baptist. And she was so sure she was going to be a Baptist. She had her Baptist ideas. She had her, I ain't throwing you on the bus. I'm testifying for you, sis. She had her ideas. She had her way. And it went for years like that. And I could hear it. When she testified, I could hear it. And when she'd get up, I could hear it. But something's happened. I mean, y'all may not know. Something over the last year. Now, she's been here 20 plus years. This last year, Crystal opened up her hand. And she never told me this, but I'm telling y'all this. Because, see, you don't have to tell somebody when something happens. When I start hearing the voice coming out of Crystal, I recognize that God's talking through her, and I don't need nobody to tell me that there's been a change. Oh, you might sit here a long time, and you might have a lot of things to say. And you might hold on to your thinking, but if you're a child of God, somewhere along the line, your sign is going to turn to a voice, and God's going to start speaking out of you. And I'm very patient. I waited 20-something years, Crystal, to hear you do what you're doing now. That makes me proud. I'm like a proud papa. That's my Crystal back there. And y'all know it. Y'all can tell the difference. Y'all know it made a difference. Yes, ma'am. Let me get you a microphone if you're going to say something, because they're going to want to hear it on the internet, too.
Pastor Moore, you and Brother Childers, along with Brother Jeremiah and Brother Jay, you helped me through this.
Amen.
You know, I do have a story.
I know.
And everything that you say, it's nothing but the truth. But you know one thing that I appreciate you, because you are man of God. You are. You know, and even though I didn't say this, I know you watched my move.
Oh, yeah.
I know you looked over me. I know that. You know, I've seen all the things that the sisters and the brothers have done here.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you.
Amen.
I thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just want to say a little something about Krista. Because, you know, I see it. See, the thing is, when God moves in your life, nobody has to tell you. Everybody sees it. Because you know what? We're all like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Amen. Been there, done that. So you can only talk like this if it's happened to you. And when you see it happen to somebody else, you can say, I see. I know what you're doing, Christo. I recognize God. I see the voice coming out of you. Because that's when it matters. I don't know where I'm at. Jesus over here, St. John chapter 9. No, I'm not picking on you. I'm just being honest.
Amen.
That's what y'all pay me to do. That's why I'm going to work tomorrow. Jesus healed this blind man. St. John chapter 9. I hate to skip on down. Just start verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth.
Yes.
And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Somebody had to do something. Somebody's sinny sin, as Dwayne says. Sinny sin, sin. Somebody done something. But listen how Jesus answered.
Okay.
Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. God wanted to use him as a sign. And by using him as a sign, it would draw people to Jesus, not to get their eyes opened, but so that he can preach to them. That was what it was all about anyway. It wasn't even about the healing of the blind man. God wasn't worrying about that blind man's eyes. Says, I got another set over him. I got another one on the other side. There's another set for him. But that the glory of God might be seen amongst the people as a sign, and it was, that the glory of God could be seen, I'm going to do this. God healed that blind man so that everybody could say, how did that happen? But Jesus didn't start just hanging around with the blind man like, hey, look what I did. Hey, look what I did. Hey, no, he didn't have time to keep on doing that. He moved on because he had a word. He had a voice. He had a message that he had to get out.
Right.
A prophet always has a message that follows the sign.
Right.
And Jesus said it was for the glory of God. That's what it was for. Now we find out here in the burning bush was a sign. It was given to attract the attention of Moses. Now it's what God gives a sign for, is to attract the attention of the people. That's what a sign is for, is to attract the attention. And now, and we go down through the scriptures here, and as we teach it now for a few minutes, and find out if it isn't so, that he gives these signs to attract attention. And then when he gets the attention of the people, then the voice of the sign begins to speak. Jesus healed the sick and attracted attention, see? Then when he began to preach, see, it attracts attention. That's what signs are for. What gets your attention at first when you come here? The people. When I first come, I thought, this people here, they're good people. Lovely people. As a brother said in Africa. A lovely man. That's who's that? I forget. Umba, Brother Goomba. He was introducing us. He's like, this is Pastor Moore. He's a lovely man. This is Brother Jeremiah. He's a lovely man. So you come to the church, you think, these people, they're lovely people. You love them because you can't help but to come here and see there's something about it. There's something about this group of people. You hear it out every preacher comes here. I mean, God, I'm not coaxing them outside. Now, when you get in there, say these people are good. Say that's lovely. They accept you. You know, no, I ain't telling them nothing. I come in here and hear when y'all do. They come, every last one of them that's ever come here. They're like, y'all are amazing people. That's a sign. You're a good group of people. That's a sign. It's a good place to go to church. That's a sign. But that ain't it. It ain't enough just to be in this building. Get past the sign and get to the voice. What's the voice? What you're hearing this morning? Amen. See, I'd rather have the sign. I'd rather have the voice. Amen. People don't want the voice. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10. No, let's read 8. I'm trying to cut some, but I don't like to cut. I like to just read it. Also, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, perceive, but perceive not. You don't, you hear it, but you don't. You see it, but you don't. Make the heart of the people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and covet, and convert, and be healed. God said there are going to be people who will hear this and not pick it up. No matter how you fix it, no matter if you don't have an ear to hear, I'm sorry. I don't even feel bad about you for not picking it up. Isn't that awful? It seemed like I, as a pastor, would just, oh, won't you come? Won't you come? You know, we prayed for you. Oh, won't you give in? Won't you just, you know, your mother prayed for you. Your grandmother prayed. Won't you come? I mean, it seemed like we just pull them. It's like, if you can't hear me, you just can't hear me. How long are you going to talk to a deaf person before you stop? I just asked the question. You got to answer that. I can't answer for you. If you cannot pick up the word of God, I'm sorry. Right. If this makes you mad, I'm sorry. Right. If you don't want this, I'm sorry. But I cannot make you love God. No. You say, I love God. Do you love his word? If you don't love his word, you don't love God. Amen. I don't care how much you come to church. You say, well, you're just hateful. I'm just honest. I don't want to waste your time on mine. If this ain't for you, I get it. Jesus said, Judas, go do what you must do quickly. Don't worry about it. Don't even take your plate off the table. Just go. You gotta be able to pick up God's voice. Everybody can't hear his voice. Right. Only his sheep can. He said, I read you, goats can't get it. There are people who eyes will be shut and they'll keep them. They will keep them shut because they don't want to see. They will plug their ears because they don't want to hear. You know I'm telling you the truth and you don't want the truth, so you'll act like it's not true. Right. But it doesn't change the truth. Truth is truth whether you go along with it or not. Amen. God's truth doesn't need your don't need your okay. It doesn't need you say it's right. It doesn't need you to do anything. God's truth is marching on whether you come to church or not. Amen. People almost think when they don't come to church that we don't have church. Oh, you should turn on the internet. When I go out of town, I can turn that thing on and Clary's going across the pulpit. I'm like, hey. She acting like I ain't even her. She don't even miss me at all. Because it's about the truth. Yeah. It's not about your friendship. Not, you know, when you get mad and you don't come to church, that's not on me. I'm going to preach whether you're here or not. You just got to just buck up and get with it. That's all I got to tell you. You need to be in the house of God because that's where the voice of God is. Yeah. The only one to lose out is you. We still have church. Amen. You say, man, I missed Wednesday night. That's on you. We had guest speaker. We eating like fat hogs. We living. John said he had a prayer line that he ain't never seen one like it. People coming and having a good old time and you at home. Doing what? Nothing. Said, leave me alone. No, I'm not going to leave you alone. I am the voice of God, and you're going to hear it or you're going to go. Getting past the signs and get to where God, where the rubber meets the road. You need to get in this thing for yourself, serve God for yourself, and forget about what everybody else thinks. I'm following the word of God. I'm following the voice of God. If you don't want to follow Clarence, you stay home. I'm going to church.
Right.
And Clarence is like, I feel a little sickly tonight. I'm going to sit this one out. Okay. Just lay on in the bed. Put the blanket up under her chin. Put the pillow on her head. Pat her a little bit and say, see ya. I'll be back. Sometimes we get so connected at the hip that one can't move without the other. I'm always afraid of a husband and wife because that's close. When you're so close that you can't do nothing without your spouse, something's wrong. I always hated that. Husband trying to work, wife on the phone with him. What you doing? I'm working. But when it comes to serving God, you better cut that umbilical cord.
Oh, yeah.
Your wife might not want to serve God. Your husband might not want to serve God. Your kids might not want to serve God. As for me and my, I can make this thing really close. As for me and my house. You don't see Clarice here, do you? Me and my house. I'm going to serve the Lord. If I have to leave her at home, I'll do it. If I have to leave him at home, I'll do it. Why? I hear the voice of God calling me. This is always God's way of making his voice known to his people. He sends his prophet and gives a sign and then takes his voice that's been spoke before on his word and vindicates it by this man. And they know that it's his voice because it's the promised word of the day. Oh my. That's a key point, Jeremiah. Make you sit up straight, huh? Oh, if people could only see that. If they could only stop just a moment and realize that, you see, there is no way to make them believe it. There is no way. A man, God himself can't do it. Make the people believe it. They've got to believe it. And if there is nothing there to believe with, how can they believe? See, no matter what you do. The Bible said, though he had done so many miracles, yet they could not believe. Because Isaiah said, Isaiah foresaw it and said, they got ears and they can't hear, eyes and they can't see. And yet he was perfectly the Messiah, done exactly what the Messiah said. And they said, this man just breaks up churches. And he won't do from whence he comes. You see, isn't that strange that they would do that? But the Bible said they would do it. Yep. People can't stand the voice. That's why some people like the internet. Because when it gets hot in here like this, go get them something to drink. Hopefully they come back and I'm through. Or they might have computer problems. I'm gonna reboot. That is a good 10 minutes. But when you're face to face with the voice of God, you can't stop it. See, that's a problem. When you come to the house of God, you can't stop God's voice. Amen. Oh, you can huff, puff, get mad all you want, stump and snort and leave and do whatever you want to do. But it's not going to stop God's truth. Because it's the voice of God. It's not the voice of Nate. Amen. That's what you got to understand. Amen. Where you're missing the mark is you think it's just me with an attitude. I don't have an attitude. I'm bringing you the voice of God, the word of God. And either you want it or you don't. Either you can hear it or you can't. Either you can eat it or you can't.
Amen.
And it's not up to me either way. I might love you to pieces, but if you can't receive the word of God, I have to love you in the state that you're in.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Wow.
Amen. Acts chapter 2. It's always about the sign leading us to the voice. Chapter 2, verse 12. And they were amazed. Here they are in the upper room.
Right.
And what were they doing up there? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. No. They were waiting. To tarry means to wait. We made a creed out of the tarrying.
Amen. Yeah.
Ain't nobody in that Bible ever hallelujah, hallelujah.
No.
To get the Holy Ghost.
No.
Wasn't written one time. Never was there.
No.
They took the word tarry and made it something you had to do. They were just sitting down talking.
Right.
And they were remembering what the scrolls had said and what Jesus had said. And they're like, wait a minute, wasn't that written? Didn't Jesus say? And somebody would stand up and say, yeah, Jesus told us in 3 days he was going to raise up.
Yeah,
I remember that. What's the scroll say about that? Well, over there, Jonah, remember? He said, as Jonah was, read that. And they just read the scroll. Yeah, that was Jonah. But yeah, that's what Jesus did. And another one stands up and says, you know what? He told us that when the Spirit of truth has come, so that means we didn't have the Spirit of truth. So. He says it's going to lead and guide us. I wonder what that is. And another one stands up and says, you know what? I think we're actually living in the fulfillment of the scripture ourselves. And Peter says, you think so? Oh, yeah. All those scrolls that were talking about him, they were also talking about us. And I started looking at them and some stuff. So, whoa. Next thing you know, pillar of fire come in that room. The Holy Ghost come in that room. He wrote in on his word all the things that they were talking about. He took those things and put it in them. And when the Holy Ghost put those words in them, the room wasn't big enough. When the Holy Ghost gets you just right, church, this church ain't big enough. Brother Locke won't be the only one doing this. Come out of there and verse 12, it says, and they were amazed. Why were they amazed? Because they come out there speaking in tongues.
Right.
They come busting out of there like a beehive that's been hit by a rock. They come out of there speaking in tongues, and they were amazed. And were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? See, they know. They didn't have an ear to hear. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know the scrolls.
Right.
You know, when Jesus met that woman at the well, she knew the scrolls.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
When Jesus started talking to her and he started showing her the sign, showed her the signs. She said, hey, when he comes, the Messiah comes, he's going to do those things, those signs that you're doing. She said, I'm he. And he started telling her about herself. He started telling her about, he says, there's coming a time, lady.
Yeah.
And now is. Now here's the word.
Yeah.
See, the word always follows the sign.
Oh, yeah.
There coming a time and now is
yeah.
that they that hear my voice,
yeah.
they'll worship me.
Ah.
In spirit
and
in truth. This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears, lady. She's like, whoa!
Yeah.
Let me go back to the city and get my husband. Let me go back to the city and tell him about this thing. She was so caught up in the word, in the voice, that she left her water pot.
Right.
She left her thinking. She left her ideas and ran to the city. Left the thing that was supposed to give her life.
Right.
Laid it all down
right.
and ran back to the city and said, come see a man. Come and hear this voice.
Yeah.
Come see a man who told me all things.
Amen.
So Peter and them come out of that upper room. They didn't know what it was about. They said, what meaneth this? Others mock, saying, these men are full of new wine. Peter's standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing that is but the third hour today. Early. Too early to be drinking. But they were drunk. Peter didn't deny that. But they weren't drunk like you think they're drinking. Oh, there's something. They got a new wine. They got something that turned them on. They got a voice that come out of them. Oh, they turned into the voice of God. Peter said, this is only the third hour, but this is that which was spoken of the prophet. Do you realize them coming out of that upper room was a sign to the people? The people became the sign. It wasn't just a prophet. The prophet was a sign, but then the prophet gave it to the people, and the people were the very manifestation of the sign. And Peter knew that. He said, hey, this is what was prophesied. This sign that you're looking at was already written. But this is that which was written by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in these days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. It became what was a prophecy of a prophet. It became a manifestation and a voice in the people. Peter was standing up there as a voice of God at that point. That was God's voice. Brother Branham said, now, the sign that is promised for the day is done before the people. And then as the written scripture comes, and then the written scripture comes forth, it's a voice of the sign. If it doesn't give a scriptural voice, then stay away from it. See, it's not God. Because God cannot promise this for today and say, well, this is it. See, God cannot do that. God cannot promise something for one day and say, no, no, it ain't. I won't do that. That's for another day. What he promises, he must stay with it. And the real scriptural sign is the scriptural voice. The voice that you hear after you see the sign has got to be the Word of God. If I come up here preaching you Trinitarian doctrine, that ain't the Word of God. Don't listen to it. People don't even know how to judge a voice. They don't even know how to find God. They don't even know how to find the voice of God. You can't find the voice of God just out here picking a church. I don't believe that. Go to the church of your choice. You go to the church of God's choosing. God's provided place of worship is what Brother Branham preached. He said it's God's chosen place. He wants to put his name somewhere, and that's the place that God chooses, not us. I didn't choose Fairborn. God chose me. When I came here, I didn't decide I was going to be here. God told me I was going to be here. He didn't give me an option. I said I was going to check with Clarence and Nadine. He said, I said you. See, from the very beginning, God wasn't playing with me. He didn't even hold up and say, well, okay, go check with the girls and see. No, he said, I said, you're home. Your home. I never forgot it. From that day forward, I'm like, yes, Lord, all right. I'll tell them. I don't know what y'all going to do. And that's what I told them after church. I don't know what y'all going to do. But as for me, I ain't never going back. That was 40-something years ago, and I still believe it. I still remember God saying that to me. That was a voice of God because it was a scriptural voice. Amen. How did you know it was God? Because it matched the Word. Luke chapter 17. Now remember, the voice of the prophet gets into the body and it becomes a voice in the body. The signs of the time brings on a voice. We don't even hardly look at that. We think it's just healing. We think it's just discernment. But the signs of the time will bring on that voice. Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the Son of Man. See, this here's the scriptural sign. Here's the sign, and then the voice. Here's the sign. They did eat. They drank. Yeah. They married wives.
They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered in the ark and a flood came. Here, Luke is trying to give us, Jesus was trying to give us the signs that was going to show the day and hour that we're living in. Amen. Remember, the sign comes before the voice. Right. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went in out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Right. Here it is again, another sign. Now remember, the sign comes before the voice. Right. So the sign's there, talking about the end time. Right. So if that sign is there, and I'm going to just jump down because it's starting to get late again. If the sign is there and is showing us at the end time that there's supposed to be a voice, where in the world is the voice? We got the sign. It is as it was in the day of Noah. The sign's here. It is as it was in the day of Lot. The sign's here. There's got to be a voice. Revelation chapter 10. Jump down. Verse 7. You know it. But in the days of the voice, not the sign.
That's right. Amen.
The voice of the seventh angel. The sign was the time in that we were living in. The sign was here showing us the hour that we're living in. But there has to be a voice that followed the sign. Oh, there was a sign in every age. There was a voice in every age. But in the last day, when the last sign comes on the scene and the last voice comes on the scene, there's got to be a voice that tells us what the next step is. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished as he had declared it to his servants, the prophets. Brother Branham said, the pillar of fire, as soon as the sign comes up there, that was the sign that the voice was ready to speak. When you see the sign, look for the voice.
Right.
Don't just worry about the healing. Amen. Oh, I bring somebody up here and heal them today, if I could. Don't worry about that. You keep your eye on me.
Right.
Keep your eye on me. Because then the next words I speak should be the voice.
Right.
I love Brother Wednesday night. He had all kinds of signs and wonders in his life.
Right.
And they were great. But I love the fact that he took it right back and said, but the word.
Right.
Get it back to the word.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter about how much pillar of fire you've seen or how much God's done for you.
No.
After all that's done, what word do you have?
Right.
When that seventh angel come on the scene and he had all kind of signs and he had all kind of wonders and he did many things and he had a lot of things, but Brother Branham knew that when it was all said and done, he had to get right back to the word.
Amen.
Matter of fact, towards the end of his ministry, he said, I don't have time to christen babies and dedicate babies. And I don't have time to do all these things. I got to give all my time to the word.
Amen.
And that's the way I feel. That's why I don't come and visit y'all and do a lot of pets as pastors do and do all these. I don't have time for that stuff.
No, sir.
I got a job to do. I got a word to bring. I got a job to do to bring the voice to the people.
Yes. Right.
Because you can't become the voice until you hear the voice.
Amen.
You can't say what I told you until I tell you.
Amen.
Jonah was a sign. Noah was a sign. I'm jumping down. Revelation 10:8-11. You say you read that a lot. I should. Because that's us. Remember, the day and hour you're living in is the sign. The voice went to the prophet, but in 8:11, we know it. He said, take the book and eat it. You eat it. You've got to eat it. I can't eat it for you. You got to do it yourself because that becomes the voice. We've had the sign. Everybody's looking for signs. Jesus looked, he said, the wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign. He ain't getting one but the Son of Man.
in the belly of the well. He said, that's the only sign they're going to get.
Right.
All they're going to see is that he died. They have no understanding.
No.
And this adulterous generation that we're living in, seeking after sign. If you can show them a sign, they'll believe you.
Yeah.
But see, that's not the way it works. The signs that get your attention when the word comes forth. The word is what you have to believe.
Right.
We've already had the sign of the hour, the sign of the time, Laodicea, this generation. I just read you Luke 17. The sign is already laying right before us. And everybody can see the sign, but not many people can hear the voice.
Right.
Amen. It said over there in chapter 10, verse 8, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book out of the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me. You know what you got to say today? Give me the book. Don't give me the sign. I want the word. Because the voice has the word behind it, not the sign. Give me the word. We're sitting here getting understanding after understanding after understanding. We had so much revelation going on in this place, we don't even know. We don't even know what to do with it. We really don't. We got so much revelation and we don't know what to do with it. You really don't.
Amen.
You know all that was, all that is, and that all is to come. You're sitting here with all this word. Where'd this come from? It didn't come from the sign. It came from the voice.
Right.
Take this book and eat it. We have taken the book and ate it. And I went into the angel and said, give me this little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And then what did he tell us after we ate the book? And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again.
Right.
Become the voice.
Right.
Before many nations, many peoples, many nations and tongues and kings. You are going to be that final voice to the final age. Not the final sign. We've had the sign. Luke 17 showed us the sign. The prophet showed us the sign.
Yeah, right.
Now we have to take the book and become the voice.
Right.
The spirit.
Yeah.
And the voice, the bride.
Yes.
Say come.
Right.
That's where we're at, people.
Amen.
They became the voice when they came out of that upper room.
Right.
This is that was prophesied.
Right.
The sign was the times, but you become the voice.
Right.
You take the book, you eat the book, and then when you open your mouth, you'll do like Crystal did.
That's right.
You'll do like everybody else is
right.
doing.
Yeah.
You'll become the final word to the final generation.
Right.
You'll be God in skin, the voice. 1 Thessalonians 4, not going there. Lord himself descended from heaven with a shout.
Yeah.
The voice.
Yeah.
What voice? His voice. Where's it at? In his bride.
Right.
Come out of her, right, people. Where's that coming from? The bride. That's God's voice coming through the bride.
Amen.
Anything that moves in this hour that we're living in now is going to be coming through the voice of the bride.
Amen.
The bride. Why do you think the rapture is going to happen? Because we call for it.
Amen.
We're the final voice.
Amen.
To the final age.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's us.
Amen.
We're no longer stuck on a sign.
No. No.
We see the signs.
Yeah.
We know the signs. But we've become the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are the final voice, people.
Yeah.
No other sign is needed.
No.
Oh, it's good if we see signs and wonders, but we don't even have time to give to that.
No.
We don't spend a whole service talking about healings.
No.
We don't spend much time talking about the healings of Brother Branham.
Right.
We're the voice of God
right.
to the final age. This world seeking after a sign, they'll get no sign but the bride leaving here.
Amen.
That's the sign that they're going to get. But by that time, it's too late. But we are the final ones. We're standing here. The living Word of God. The final voice to the final age. That's us. That's the bride. That's why we don't spend too much time on patting each other on the back. We spend too much time on the Word. We've got to give all of our time to the Word. And let everybody else come around us and see the sign. When they come in the doors, whoo! Something about this place. Something, but that's the sign. But you know what they don't ask? They don't ask, what is this? What is this? Because if they started asking questions, they'll start hearing a voice. And the voice will become really what they have to deal with. He said, Jesus Christ is on your hands. What are you going to do with them? We're the final voice, church. And God let them parade through here and testify to you that they see the sign. They're testifying back to us that we are the voice. And we're the voice because we have the Word. They're coming in and saying, my, this place, my, and this little place, you almost miss it driving by. My, this place, God is in this place. They get anointed and they preach stuff they couldn't preach freely. And it's like, my, something about this place. And they all come, and when we get out of the parking lot, I'll come back anytime. Just come back. I'm like, anytime, you're welcome. Anytime, come on back. But the sign is, they're seeing the sign. They're seeing a sign, and the voice is the Word coming forth. And God comes in this place, and He speaks through them. He speaks through us. He just, His Word's just moving through here. And we're so used to it here, we don't even hardly understand it. We've been so catered to by God. And we just, yeah, this little rapture. Like the brother said Wednesday night, David was so used to God dealing with it and answering his prayers. And all he did was had these little rocks. That's all he had. These little things, you think, oh, this little church? This is exactly what God wants. We are the final voice. If anybody's going to hear from God, they're going to hear from you. And if that doesn't turn you on, if that doesn't make you want to speak out, if that doesn't make you become the final voice to the final age, I don't know what to tell you. Because if that don't just give you your goal and direction in life, there is nothing else that God has for you. The sign of the time is here around us everywhere. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentiles' days numbered. With horrors encumbered. Return or disperse to your home. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Look around you. The signs are all around us, people. Fires popping up out of anywhere and nowhere. Floods, fires, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, pestilence. And don't think the end's yet. This is only the beginning. This is only the tip of the iceberg. Wars and rumors of wars. Men killing themselves. But yet, the end has not come. This final voice has to do her job. That's us. We've seen the sign. Now, let's be the voice. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning so thankful for your Word. So thankful to know who we are. We've seen the signs. We've walked right up to it. And Lord, we've listened to your voice that came out of the sign. And we now know the hour that we're living in. We know our job. We know what we're supposed to do. And we're the final voice of this final age, and we will do the job. It's already said. It's already spoken. It's already written. It's already... Now, Lord, let it manifest. Let it manifest through us with every heartbeat. Let's lay down everything that doesn't look like you in our lives. We don't have time for it. We don't have time to be upset. We don't have time to be picky. We don't have time to pick each other to death. The signs that you're here is already in front of us. And Lord, the hour is so late that we don't even have time to look back to see if anybody else is coming. I know I'm coming. I'm keeping my eyes on that goal. I'm doing like Paul said, press towards the mark of the high calling. When you're pressing towards the mark, you're not looking back. You're looking ahead, knowing what's just ahead of us. And this bride is doing so, Lord, and if I've let you down, Lord, let me pick it up. If I haven't done enough, let me do more. If I haven't surrendered enough, Lord, let me be that final voice. I want to be that final voice to the final age. I'm not complaining about it and trying to figure out a way out of it, Lord. This is my job. This is why I'm here. This is why you've called me. So, Lord, let me give it my best shot and do the best I can with what I have. Thank you for your word, because your word has become the voice. And because we have eaten your word, we have become that voice. And when the world hears us, they're hearing from you. Bless this congregation. Let us press like never before. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, musicians. Yes.
You know, I had a hard time sitting there. You were saying you feel bad for people who don't hear the voice, but you know what? I can't help but hear the voice.
That's right.
I hear you. And then you know what? It's in me too. It's so exciting for me. You know, it just, I wanted to run around and scream, but I wanted to sit there and pay attention and listen to that voice. You know, I'm sorry I'm crying.
That's all right.
You know, it's been hard even sitting there from when you said that, because our heart people can't hear it.
That's right.
But I hear it.
I hear
it. And I just think, what's that? You know, when I speak to my children, that's a voice, you know?
That is.
And I thank God so much for that revelation, because it just hit me so hard that I have it in me too.
Amen.
You know, I can come to church and I listen to the ministers, and they have the voice. So do I.
Amen. That's why I was saying, I was trying to not get to the end before I got to the beginning. Because to know that you are the voice, that the sign's already out there, and you are the very manifestation of that voice. It's you. It's not anybody else. It's you. God chose you. Oh, my. Nations are breaking. I think that's in the key of G. Come back tonight, 7 o'clock. See what else God's got for us. He spoils us. He is so good to us. Oh, people don't want it, but I want it. The world's falling apart. That's a sign, people. That's a sign. And they don't even know to look for the voice. They just hover around the sign. Oh, things are bad. That's the church world saying. Things are bad. The world's out of control. Things are bad. But that's just a sign. If the sign is there, the voice is somewhere. The voice always follows the sign. I thank God that I'm the voice. I thank God that I've heard the voice. As Elise said, I've heard that voice. I know it's him. My, look up, church. Our redemption is near.
Amen.
Amen. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentiles' days numbered, with horrors encumbered. Eternity soon will unfold. For the day of redemption is here. And men's hearts are failing for fear. So be filled with God's Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Right, look up, your redemption is near. The fig tree is growing, Jerusalem's restoring her national lifelong dethroned. Today she is calling, her ladder ain't falling. Return all dispersed to your own. For the day of redemption is here. It's here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. So be filled with
God's Spirit. Your lips trimmed and clear. Bright, look up your redemption. Heaven's powers are shaking, and many are mistaking God's meaning to be a. They're missing the sign. God's church is the power that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is nigh. For the day of. Oh, men's hearts are failing for fear. Bride, be filled with God's Spirit. Your lips trimmed and clear. Let's look up. Our redemption is here. False prophets are lying. God's truth they're denying. That Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation spurns God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles have trod. For the day of redemption, it's here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Let's be filled with God's Spirit. Our lamps trimmed and clear. Bride, look up. Your redemption is here.